Hello and welcome to the BSG podcast. I am your host, Chase, and today we're going to be covering some juicy news today. In fact, we will be covering September 3rd to September 9th, and with me to talk about some of this very juicy news is Quinn. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, aka I am still sick, but if you do not know what BSG is, we're an informative bi-weekly podcast focused on gaming news and discussions. On Mondays, we go over the news for the week, covering everything gaming without the BS. And on Wednesdays, we pick up a juicy topic or game to cover and give our half-informed opinions. So what are some of the big topics we're going to be talking about today?
Well, some of the ones that I liked was that Pokemon Masters hit 10 million downloads. We have that Peggy is finally responding to the NBA 2K20's casino trailer. And then I think another one we'll probably talk a fair amount is that EA is now in the Guinness Book of World Records for the most downvoted, the tweet?
Oh, spoiler alert.
Reddit thing, that's what it was. We'll get to that.
Well, if you want to communicate with us and interact with us on any sort of basis, you can do so on Twitter at BS Gamers Podcast. That is where we are. That is where you can tweet us. That is where we tweet. So you can even follow if you don't want to talk and you just want to be a lurker. Or you can send us a tweet and we'll have a little bit of a conversation. If you want to do us a bigger solid, though, what can they do, Chase?
We would be very happy if you would rate and review us. We're still a small podcast. We're trying to make it big time. No. We would love
it. We're trying to make it small time.
One step at a time. We're trying to go from small time to less small time.
No, we're trying to go to small time.
Okay, you're right. We're going from existing to more existing.
There you go.
Yes, we would be very happy if you rated and reviewed us. It would be very helpful for the podcast. Please rate and review us on any platform that you're listening to us. And even better, yes, as Quinn mentioned, make sure to tweet us. We'd love to hear your opinions. So, Quinn, are you ready to get into the news?
Yes, let's do it.
So here are the following game releases on the Switch. We have Super Street the Game, Remothered Tormented Fathers, and Divinity Original Sin 2, the Definitive Edition coming on Switch. Highly recommend.
For PS4, we have Catherine the Full Body Edition.
For PC, we have Children of Mordug, Green Hell, Creature in the Well, Falcon Age, Project Nimbus, Code Mirai, and Fantasy General 2.
And everything else is releasing on various platforms, so this might be coming to a console near you. River City Girls on PS4 and Switch, Torchlight 2 on pretty much everything, Final Fantasy 7, 8 actually remastered everything. Yes. Spyro Reignited Trilogy coming to PC and Switch. A DLC for Monster Hunter World called Iceborne is coming to everything. Gears 5 on Xbox One and PC if you want the Early Access Edition. Creature in the Well is coming to everything but PS4.
All right, let's get into the main news segment today.
Let's get into it. So first off, EA's Star Wars Battlefront 2 makes it into the official 2020 Guinness Book of World Records. Unfortunately for EA, it's because of something infamous they've done, and it is actually from the quote they made on Reddit about giving players the intent to provide players with a sense of pride and accomplishment for unlocking different heroes within the game Star Wars Battlefront 2. Now, me and Chase have talked about this on the podcast before under our Loot Box series, but essentially what was happening here was that players did not like the fact that various features behind Star Wars Battlefront 2, including characters and different heroes, were locked behind essentially loot boxes. So EA responded with this quote and said that they wanted to provide players with a sense of pride and accomplishment by using loot boxes, which doesn't make any sense. And they became the most downvoted post in Reddit history, and Guinness Book of World Records solidified that and made it official in their 2020 series.
So some Japanese studios are still continuing to get a lot of threats, especially in this particular one, a would-be arsonist. We have 25-year-old Saiki Akagawa, who was arrested in Hamamatsu on August 30th for sending death threats on Twitter to Visual Arts, a publisher for visual novel games. This would-be arsonist sent threats on Twitter such as, "I'm getting my gasoline ready," and as well, "even I'm feeling tense, since I don't know when I'll attack Visual Arts." These threats are in line with a similar arsonist that killed 35 people at Kyoto Animation. So thank goodness they got this guy.
Gears 5 has become the first AAA game to receive a perfect score of 6 out of 6 from Can I Play That? Now, Can I Play That is an online portal that reviews video games based on their accessibility for the deaf and games with hearing disabilities. So the site scores games based on 6 different parameters: visual representation of dialogue, visual representation of sound, visual cues, controller vibration, player communication, all of which got a perfect score of 6 from Gears 5. So congrats, Gears 5.
Pokemon Masters hits a huge milestone this week. As described by Sensor Tower, Pokemon Masters is now the number one free app store game in 27 countries. Pokemon Masters Twitter revealed that it has reached 10 million downloads in just 4 days. And its revenue of just August, you know, only about 5 days or 6 days that it was in there, it made $7 million on the iOS and $2 million for the Android, each with 3 million downloads.
SK Telecom held a press conference a few days ago where they announced that they will be the exclusive operating partner of Microsoft's cloud gaming service in Korea. Korea is the fourth largest gaming market in the world, so this is a somewhat big thing for Microsoft and SK Telecom. The two companies are working on a public preview of the cloud-based service, which is called xCloud by Microsoft, and SK Telecom is a 5G company. So they're essentially, they're combining SK Telecom's 5G network with Microsoft xCloud to make this service, and hopefully they have a public preview by October. The companies feel this partnership will take customers' mobile gaming experiences to the next level and make cloud gaming a larger part of the market.
So after 3 years, Pokemon Go's action lawsuit has finally been settled. This was due to public nuisance where crowds of people would sometimes invade private property just to play Pokemon Go. The settlement was reached August 30th, showing Niantic allowing people to submit a complaint regarding nuisances, trespassing, or removing of Pokemon Go stops. This point of interest will be Pokemon Less, new word to use, where up to 40 meters of the residents. Parks will also be able to request that Pokemon activities will only be allowed during hours of operation. The game also reminds you that when you log into the game, you need to be mindful and courteous of your surroundings. Other terms of agreement, such as financial compensation, was not disclosed, but we can guess it's somewhere at least in the millions due to some of the prior lawsuits being around or asking for compensations of about $5 million, at least.
Something that we didn't actually cover last week, and I'll be covering and bringing you guys up to date right now, is that NBA 2K20 had a casino trailer showing one of their features called My Team that pretty much promoted this gambling aspect of the game, which revolved around microtransactions and loot boxes. What was more controversial, however, was that PEGI, the European Video Game Age Rating Organization, gave the game an age rating of 3, which made a lot of people pissed off, as 3-year-olds shouldn't really be gambling or using loot boxes. So PEGI came out with a response last week, saying that the game restrictions within the PEGI system, or the gambling restrictions within the PEGI system, don't currently apply to loot boxes or other forms of monetization unless the game teaches or has the player use traditional means of gambling. With that, however, PEGI stated that they will have to wait for the game's official release, which has now happened, to see if the controversial imagery from the trailer plays a central role in the game or not. They then go to say, once again, that their system is made for traditional gambling and how to tag that within a game. And so the differences between traditional gambling and the current system within the game refrain Peggy from doing anything at the moment. But they do have internal discussions of how Peggy should evolve as the game industry grows into these new areas that the game rating system currently can't account for. They also believe that they cannot base their decisions just on the trailer, but now that the game is out, we're still waiting on any word from them. Because they haven't really come out with a new update to the Peggy rating, users and gamers have really taken matters into their own hands and have review-bombed all NBA 2K games on Steam and Metacritic. User reviews on Steam left the game, the newest game, NBA 2K20, with an overwhelmingly negative score on Steam and a score of 1.3 on Metacritic.
And that is it for the news. We're going to take a short break, get a cup of water, and then we're going to have a discussion about this. All right, and we're back. So I really want to talk about the Peggy debacle. Since last week, I did talk about it a little bit, but Quinn was sick, or actually, I think in that case, he was heavy with work.
Both. I was dead. On all fronts, I was dead.
Yeah. And so we didn't get a chance to actually talk about Peggy and NBA 2K20's controversy with this, right, with this gambling issue. And so now that you're here, really want to talk about it with you. It's an interesting time that we're in, that Peggy couldn't take it into their own hands, even if like maybe they have their own rules and regulations that they can't overwrite what they say to say like maybe right. this is, but maybe it is an issue, but I don't know because I haven't personally played the game and I've only seen the trailer. So what do you think? Do you think this is, I guess you could say gambling? In all terms of the context, or do you think so, that there's some basis?
I think the thing that is holding things up is that loot boxes are still in the legal sphere right now, right? Like loot boxes are being determined, or the fate of loot boxes is being determined as we speak. And so I can see that it doesn't make sense for Peggy to make an exception here when all other games have loot boxes, right?
Right, and we've seen in previous games with NBA 2K, they've all gotten threes. So the fact that they would change all of a sudden, and let's say hypothetically no laws have been changed yet, right, would be a little astounding.
Right. It's hard to... Like, I can see where they're coming from, because they can't make exceptions. They can't start making exceptions randomly, because this, and they even mention this, that this trailer and this mechanic in this game in particular has hit too close to home for a lot of people and made them uncomfortable. But ultimately, people being uncomfortable doesn't decide the rating.
Right. That's true.
So they have to stick by their guidelines. They can't break their guidelines just for this one game. But I think what is important, and I honestly don't think they will change the rating on this game, period. I don't think they will. But I think the fact that people are getting upset, and Peggy has said we're having internal discussions about the future of the rating system, I think that's good, because they should be, because laws are changing. People's view of loot boxes within games is changing, and maybe eventually they get they're called descriptors, I believe. So that like a game gets a descriptor if it has this. So like if it has gambling on the back of the box, it says gambling, and now it's rated, you know, mature, right? I think what they would have to do is make a loot box descriptor and say this game offers loot boxes, so you cannot purchase this game unless you are 16 years old, right, or whatever, because there's a lot of new information about loot boxes and gaming addiction and gambling addiction and all these things, right? So I think that's how they have to go about it, but I don't think we'll see anything for a while. Yeah,
I agree with you that they're probably not going to change the Peggy rating for this game. Maybe future games, if once the laws get set. The reason why I think I'm really upset about this stuff is that I played Dragon Quest XI, and I talked about this last week, and they have gambling in the game. Like, gambling, not right. pay money gambling, but you're playing Texas Hold'em essentially, or I don't think it was Texas Hold'em. I think it was blackjack. Now,
can you bet?
Yeah, you can bet. And okay. that's the thing though, but you can't pay money. There is absolutely no way you can give money to Square Enix
right.
by playing this gambling game. Absolutely right. no way. And so it's so interesting that like this is like gambling in a sense, because you have to pay money, or you don't have to, but you can
right
give money to be able to do these token games that they're called.
So what the actual descriptor for Peggy is that the game must
teach you
how to actually gamble. So the idea is that they prevent games from prepping you for casinos, from encouraging you to move on to bigger, worse things, right? And that's the whole reason that descriptor exists, is to help prevent games from teaching or making legitimate gambling fun and game-like.
Now, you're probably going to agree with me, which is probably never a good thing. Well, let's find out. This does teach you gambling in a sense. Maybe not inside the game, but it teaches you that if you put money in, then you get a chance to get LeBron James, per se, in that like that slots one that I saw in the announcement trailer.
Right.
So technically, it does teach you. It's just that it doesn't teach you inside the game, in a sense. I don't know how you would explain it. It's right. like it teaches you to get your wallet out and say, like, if I put more money in, I can play more. Let me go get my daddy's wallet or my mommy's right. wallet and then play
as young yeah. as three.
As young as three.
Yeah, as young as three, you can. It teaches you that putting money in gets you random chances at getting good or bad things. And I think that it's hard, right? Because ultimately, their gambling descriptor has nothing to do with actually spending money in the game.
No, it does not. You're correct.
It only has to do with like the visual content, because they deem it as more mature. Right? It's not, has nothing to do with microtransaction or anything. It's all about teaching players about yeah. gambling, which is a 21 and over reserved thing.
Which is interesting that it's 13 plus, though, that it's okay that you can get taught at that time.
I think it's the same as like PG-13 movies. Like you can say the word fuck right. once in a PG-13 movie, and you can have drugs and other stuff. It just can't be like overly.
Yeah.
So I think it's like that's the age where you can start to differentiate like reality and like what's bad in a game is also bad in reality. But for whatever reason, the game's allowing you to do it, like a mafia game or something.
But then you right? get like you get games like Kingdom Come Deliverance, A Woman's Lot, that DLC, where in Australia it's banned essentially because right. it has rape scenes in it. Although maybe that is something that people should learn or differentiate, like what is good and what is bad if they're 13 and up, or at least 15 and up, because that's one of the other ratings that they have out in the European countries.
But is Kingdom Come Deliverance 13 and up?
The game is, no, you can't play it, period, right now.
Not in Australia, I'm talking about in general. I think it's pretty
mature.
Sure Kingdom, yeah, it's mature. So, I mean, right. like, obviously there are different levels of content that like
but
like,
even okay, then yeah, and it's accessible can't. It's still accessible for mature, that's my point.
Right,
maybe
but
13 and 15
if you think about
right
even
age.
this NBA 2K20, the gambling or not the gambling features, I want to call them gambling, the loot box features are not accessible in countries that have it banned.
Right. Actually, yeah, is NBA 2K20 then not in other countries?
No, it is, they just don't have those features.
Oh, okay. So they did take out those features. Cool.
Yeah, I imagine so. Like that, it is common practice for, especially with when it comes to loot boxes, it is common practice for games to release a non-loot box version in countries that have loot boxes banned.
So I'm wondering if that's the case, that if it's not possible to essentially pay money for it, do they, I wonder if they change it to the in-app purchases, or do they just remove the thing period? Like for NBA 2K20.
They just remove all the features. Yeah. Okay.
So in NBA 2K20, they probably remove it.
Is like super boiled down.
So then it's probably not as fun. And
yes, it's probably not as fun.
And I'm not trying to say that the other one's more fun than the other, but it's probably not fun in the first place if you remove the ability to get things more quickly.
Like, well, it's an only like an online feature, I believe. Like it's a secondary thing to what the game is. Like, I'm sure you can still play online games without the My Team system, so it's not like pay to win. But
here's an interesting thing. If this is an online system and then you're competing against other people who've paid money to be better than you, doesn't that mean they're always going to be better than you? Because
yeah, they're always gonna have it's a pay to win system.
100%. Yeah, right. But like Europeans then or certain countries, I think specifically it's Belgium, if they wanted to compete in the online portion, they could never win.
I don't think they would have this mode. So this is like a specific. This isn't the core of the game. The game doesn't revolve around this pay-to-win system. I think there are probably modes in which, yes, you can pay to win those specific modes, but I'm sure there are balances in place that, like, say...
Like, we hope.
That basically remove the pay-to-win portion in specific modes so that, yes, these people in, like, Norway, where loot boxes are banned or wherever the country is, they can still play other people within Europe.
Because the things I want to compare it to is like FIFA 18, 19, 20. You can just keep going and they do the card pack thing. Now, right, that's allowed
the same thing
right now in Belgium, I think, even. Because that's not considered loot boxes. They don't consider it that. But
oh, I see what you're saying.
But they in FIFA Ultimate, you play online matches against other people. And so because you can pay to get a higher level player, like by chance, then you could have technically a better team. Now,
that is what pay to win means. Yes.
Right. I know you're saying that, but it seems like if Belgium did not allow, let's say, the card pack thing, how could Belgian players possibly compete with the only way doing it is paying for that eBay system that they have in the game?
But, okay, this is a whole other conversation about how does FIFA actually work? Because is there a mode, a more competitive mode, where this play-to-win feature does not apply? And you have caps on how good your team can be.
Yeah, there are caps in some of them. And I think there's like things like, oh, you can only play with all silver or all gold. But
exactly.
I'm assuming that the most popular one would be like the anything goes mode. That'd be my guess. I don't have enough information
to say. I think when it comes to competitive play, I think it's exact opposite. It's highly restricted.
It's highly restricted? Okay.
Yeah. So it wouldn't actually become a problem if it's only this one, whichever modes apply for the anything goes type of situation, including NBA or FIFA. Then, those countries that have loot boxes banned won't even... I don't think they'll even be able to play those modes because they won't have access to those items. But that's when you have the more traditional restricted modes. Mm-hmm. That's what basically what the game is boiled down for them, that they can play. But we can do research on that.
Yeah, I think later. It'd be interesting to just look at some of, specifically FIFA, because the fact that trading cards aren't considered gambling in any shape or form is a very interesting distinction.
Even in NBA 2K20, they're trading
cards. Or loot boxes, I should say. I gotta be careful. I shouldn't say gambling. Loot boxes.
Right.
The fact that trading cards isn't considered loot boxes is an interesting thing in itself. Like, why? They seem almost identical, and I know we read something somewhere where they don't give the same sensation as if you were gambling. But to me,
it is that FIFA, before loot boxes were a thing, FIFA as an organization had trading cards, and so it's mimicking its own physical trading cards rather than loot boxes, and maybe they can use that as a loophole.
I don't know. No, I agree that there's some loophole involved because trading cards have been before this virtual item loot box debacle.
Right. My guess is that it comes from that. Like, yeah. Sports trading cards have always been a thing. So saying you're using like that, if you're grandfathering in your loot boxes with that, like saying, hey, FIFA, as an organization, we have trading cards well before loot boxes were a thing, and we're just implementing digital trading cards.
Right. Now, why are we talking about this? We should probably like reel it in a little bit. And the whole point is that Peggy itself is going to have a huge issue at the moment trying to really figure out like proper descriptors for what is considered a good age for kids with to use loot boxes, essentially. Like, should it be allowed?
Like another, right? Or even the question of what age should a consumer be to be able to interact with microtransactions, mm-hmm. and yeah, even random microtransactions? Yeah,
that's like, more general,
right? Mm-hmm. Like, if I think that's a big issue that hasn't been addressed, especially on like mobile games, where any like 3-year-olds or older, right, have access to mobile games that have microtransactions and in-app purchases. How do we regulate that to protect young consumers and their parents' wallets, essentially?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That should be looked into.
Yeah.
And it probably will. And it probably is being
looked into. It will eventually. We can't tell you when, guys.
Right.
Yeah, it's because the next thing I think, maybe not this Wednesday, but the next thing that we need to cover before we can even go into some of this other stuff is our loot boxes part 2, where we actually go into the legalities. Because once we really understand a lot of the legalities about how things work, I think then we could really actually
go nitty gritty and see what's going on.
Because, unfortunately, even when we do the part 2, it'll still be an overview. It won't go into specifics of certain games and like the consequences that have happened with them, in a sense. But yeah, like FIFA, that would be such an interesting one in an episode in itself, at least for me.
Right. Just talking about, even if it's, are they loot boxes? You know. What else do you want to talk about, Chase?
Let's see. I think we could talk about Pokemon Masters a little bit. I want to get some impressions. What do you think about that? Because I know you've played a little bit of it. What do you think about the game right now?
I think it's okay. It feels very like mobile game, the game. Mm-hmm. Like it's taken a lot of different mobile game mechanics and just thrown them all together, which I'm not against. I mean, it seems fine.
So it's an amalgamation of a lot of prior games,
right? You have the charging bars, right? You have the real-time charging bars that allow you to do different moves. That's been implemented 1,001 times in like those tower defense or like battle defense tower games. Clash Royale. Is that it? Yeah, Clash Royale. It has that mechanic where you have loading bars that you have to wait to use stronger and stronger moves.
Mm-hmm.
It also has the mechanic of having teams where you pick your team and that is what you're going to fight with. You also have the mechanic of you could pay money to get these new characters to join your team. And et cetera, et cetera. It just feels like an amalgamation of all the mobile mechanics that have been successful.
Now, have you had a chance to roll for new characters yet? Or no, not yet?
Yeah.
You did. Now, did you get any 5-star characters, which is the highest level when you did?
I think I got a 4-star character.
Did you do a 1-roll or a 10-roll?
I did a 1-roll.
Okay. So I've done it. I've done the 10-roll every single time, and I've done it 3 times so far. And so far, I've gotten a 5-star character each time, which is interesting because it's not guaranteed, right?
Right.
So I'm wondering if I'm getting lucky or maybe they've implemented that that the chance, because I've seen the percentage chances. It's only like 7% to get a 5-star. So it's not very high in my humble opinion.
Yeah, that'd be insane if you got 10 straight 5-stars.
Yeah, and that's out. But I've gone 3 or 4. So far, and so that's pretty good odds. compared to other games that I've played. I don't like the fact that it's very time consuming to get the gems in order to roll, because right. you need 3,000, and let's say you get 30 a day. So minimally you can get 30 a day.
Well, let's not do a review here.
Yeah, this is, but I'm talking about the system itself, just some ideas. Like if you get 30 a day, I guess if I want to, it takes about 100 days to get 30 gems is what I'm trying to get at.
Jesus
Christ. That seems like a little long. Once the game like slows down, that's what I'm wondering, like, how do they keep you engaged? The other right. thing I wanted, I guess, talk about is more general, is the fact that they don't have an energy system.
Right.
So do you know some other games that don't, like phone games that don't have energy systems when you play? Because one of the things that's interesting in itself is that I could play this game forever, you know, 24/7. And there is a limit at one point, but I can max out all, and that limit is maxing out all my characters. So there is no limit. You can continue playing this and you can eventually max out all your characters. It would just take a long time. So right. do you know any other games that you've played on the phone or anything like that?
I'm personally not invested in mobile at all.
Okay.
But I feel like it's more common than you think it is. I think you generally reserve yourself to like a specific type of mobile game. But I think when it comes to larger franchises, like I want to say that there is a Marvel like team building combat game that doesn't have energy usage. And it's pretty much, I feel like it's very similar to Pokemon Masters, except it's in the Marvel universe. It has slightly different mechanics, but I feel like it's a good example of a game that Pokemon Masters took a lot of inspiration from. And I'm pretty certain that it doesn't have energy at all.
Yeah, it's not the only game. I know there's games like Yu-Gi-Oh! Duel Links, which I play a lot right now as well. That doesn't have an energy system for PvP matches. You can play
I think
that
the energy is like a little old hat for mobile at the moment.
It's interesting that that is moving on. Because like one of the biggest games that came out RPG-wise on the phone was Brave Frontier. And that had an energy system that you can increase eventually. And that was very interesting in itself, how it's now moved from there to now no energy system. So I'm wondering, like, what is the progression of
phone games? Companies have enough data to know if energy reduces or increases monetization or not.
Right. Yeah, because like, sure now you're like, not limited. Now you get to
right,
play.
Right, so I'm sure they've been taking, like, companies have been taking a bunch of data and seeing if, okay, do players spend more money by limiting how much they can play a day, or do they spend more money by just playing the game as much as they want?
So
I'm sure it's the latter.
One of the interesting things about this game is that it got 10 million downloads, which rivals how fast Pokemon Go did in the first few days. And so in the first week, Pokemon Go had 10 million. Pokemon Masters technically beat Pokemon Go in the first few days in terms of downloads. I mean, Pokemon Go did get to 30 million a lot faster, which I don't think Pokemon Masters is going to do. And Pokemon Go was only in 4 countries when it came out.
Right.
So,
this is worldwide, right?
Yeah, this is essentially worldwide. This is 27 countries.
Right. So I get what you're saying. I think they are probably comparable, but I don't think that
Pokemon it's not going to be as big. It will not be as big. And one of the reasons I'm bringing that up is that I've listened to some other podcasts that are Pokemon heavy podcasts.
Right.
And one of the things that they were asking is like, this battle system, could it have been, what would it have been better if it was more like a traditional Pokemon game? And I actually disagree. I think this is a pretty good system for someone who would continue playing, because one of the things is that it's a minute. Like, you can play this game in a minute. Imagine if it was like a traditional Pokemon game.
Right.
Very hard to play in a minute on a phone.
Well, I think the thing that really makes the game more engaging is that real-time aspect of it, is that you have to be engaged during the entire battle rather than you can... Basically, nothing happens until you press a button.
Right. And the nice thing is it's only a minute or two. So right. That is how long it takes. So because a battle takes a minute, it's very easy on the phone, unlike a traditional Pokemon RPG. So do you want to move on to our last topic?
Yeah, let's go to something else.
So the last thing we wanted to talk about was Gears 5 and its accessibility. So you might, maybe if you know a little bit more about this, Quinn, since you were the one who wrote this, but sure. Basically you said that Gears 5 got a perfect score for accessibility, specifically for people with disabilities or people with hearing disabilities?
With hearing disabilities. Okay. So people who are deaf or people who have any sort of hearing disabilities, gamers specifically who have any hearing disabilities. And I just think it's interesting that this is the first AAA game to do that. That's kind of crazy that like it's actually good even if you're deaf or not or have a hearing disability. That's kind of crazy that AAA games haven't been this accessible.
Yeah, I'm wondering what that means. Is it like when you watch a TV show, you know how they give you visual cue, or not visual cues, I shouldn't say that, but like they have the subtitles.
Captions,
yeah. Right. And then they tell you like when there's a song going on or something like that, like as if you're listening to it on mute.
Right. So some of the things or the big aspects that set it apart from other AAA games, I guess, was that the captions are really good and that they give you a lot of information that just dialogue text does not. So it has the name of a character, let's say, and it will just say in brackets like mild headache strain. And so it's giving you context about all of the characters and how they're feeling and how they're saying stuff. Like, it will tell you when someone's audio is distorted. It will tell you when music starts to rise or when music starts to settle. And it gives you basically context of any audio thing without, or gives you in a very accessible way. As opposed to when other games, like, if someone grunts, like, "Ugh, you bastard," right? Like, it would just say, "Gerald says, you bastard." But in this, it'd be like, "Gerald grunts frustratingly, you bastard," towards whoever.
I'm wondering if they went into this game with that intent to really make sure that it was accessible with people with hearing disabilities. It sounds like it is.
Yeah, I think so. There is actually people who worked on Gears were tweeting about this, and they were saying a lot of people were giving credit to one specific person, saying like this person did a lot to make this game approachable and accessible to deaf people. And so like there were definitely clear people within the game company that were making decisions trying to make the game more accessible. Now there are, let me just talk about a few other things that, you know, help besides the text as well. Mm-hmm. So you can mark enemies by zooming in with an AI companion in the game, and you can like basically mark them so you never lose sight of them. But like if you can't hear, it might be hard to hear, like, because you can hear footsteps in games, right? Like which direction they're coming from. And so it might be a little hard to understand where that enemy has moved if you just have that one visual dot on the screen. So the game, what it does is the position and intensity of blood spewing out of your character's limbs will give you another insight as to where that enemy might have been or moved to. Like if you get shot from somewhere, blood will be spewing out in that direction.
I see what you mean by visual cues then.
Right. Like there's more visual cues than just like marking an enemy. There are also additional visual cues where there are additional visual cues to that, but even like the game's multiplayer mode has more accessibility than normal games where the chat has text to speech and speech to text functionality, which means that if people are typing in the chat or whatever, the chat will actually play auditorily if, like, let's say you have a special a special way to hear better, I guess, you know, I don't know, there's that. But also, if you have trouble typing, you can speak and it will translate that into text for the game and, like, type it in chat.
And I guess that can make it convenient for people if they don't have a keyboard, for example, for, like, Microsoft.
Right, or if they have, like, a different... Right, if they have a different type of controller that makes it hard to type, et cetera.
Like typing in Rocket League with this controller, the worst thing you could ever do. Right. Or PS4 in general, actually. Fucking hate it.
Well, you can't type in Rocket League on PS4, but I hear
you. Yeah, you can.
Are you sure?
Yeah, you can type in the chat with the PS4 controller. It's just really cumbersome and slow because it uses the PS4 like internal keyboard or whatever. And what you do is like you click with R2 or something or X to like it gives you like A, not ABC, but it gives you the keyboard itself inside. And so it pops up and you click. So, I mean, it's accessible. It's just that it's not very, it's too cumbersome. And for a lot of games, it has that type of thing. That's why a lot of PS4 people, they just don't type because it's just too much of a hassle.
Right. Well, now the future is near and you'll just be able to talk at your TV and it'll do all the work for you.
That'd be beautiful. Yep.
So when you fuck up in game, Alexa or Cortana or whoever can just figure it out and type it in.
And then everyone, and then Xbox, and then the contractors from Microsoft will be hearing us to make sure that our exactly. equipment is good to go.
Right.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, I was going to make a joke. You know what game is not going to ever be accessible to people with hearing disabilities or just disabilities in general?
Rock Band?
Any From Software game.
Oh.
Because they're going to make sure...
it's hard as hell.
It's hard as hell.
Despite, yeah. Like, make it harder for hearing disabled people.
Yeah. All right. So I think
that about does it, right?
Yeah, I think that does it. I want to thank you guys for listening. This was fun to talk about. Like we said, we're going to try and do as much research as possible eventually to really go into things like FIFA, to Peggy, to loot boxes. We really enjoy this type of stuff. It takes a lot of work. And when we do it, we want to give you guys a good review or a good overview of these things that are happening.
Right, so, they're complicated topics that need research put in to understand what's actually going on.
Yeah, so we're going to really push those out sometime in the near future. So please continue listening, and I really hope you're going to enjoy those episodes. So in the meantime, if you want to give your opinions or talk a little bit about some of this information that we talked about, or maybe some things that we missed, we would love it if you went on Twitter at BS Gamers Podcast, and then, you know, talk to us for a little bit. We'd love to hear your opinions and, you know, talk about all this crap. It's lonely with just Quinn.
Oh, thanks.
But what could they do even better?
Well, if you want to tickle Chase's fancy, leave us a review on any platform that you listen on. A review or rating. Much appreciated. You could even just send us a review on Twitter. You know, if you're going to give us a 1-star review and you're like, hey, I don't want to leave a 1-star review on their podcast, send us on Twitter a detailed critique of how we can improve. And maybe we can up that score. Yeah?
Yeah, so then when you actually review us, we actually get that 5-star rating.
Right. So that maybe in the future you can give us that 4 or 5.
Let's be transparent here. You're trying to trick them.
We want to improve. We want to get good ratings. You know how it is. You know how it be. Sometimes it be like that.
Yeah. All right, guys. We'll talk to you later.
See ya.